Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to week 12 of Take the Points. We have a very special program for you this evening. It's Wednesday night as we record. I'm Tom, as usual. I am here with Dan Partridge in Phoenix. I am also here with Ryan Spillett. We're doing a three-man Skype, trying to figure out this shitty technology. We hopefully will be able to get through this program, and if not, then you may see computers go flying out the window. Actually, it's a podcast, so you won't see anything. You'll just hear the audio will die out in the middle. I should stop talking and let you guys speak. Dan, what's
Hi.
Up?
Hi. Not much. Ready to roll for this weekend. Kind of a quiet slate, but next weekend's always a good one and the following one. So wrapping up the season. It seems like we just started. God, I can't believe it's almost over. It's crazy how fast the season's flown by.
It really is. Ryan, what's going on with you?
Hello, fellas. Good to be back. I just got back myself, spent the weekend in California. That was pretty fun. Back here in Phoenix, mountain time again, ready to talk football.
What's going on out in California?
I had a wedding, actually. Had a family wedding, so went out for that. Saw some family, had my dad in to visit here in Phoenix and also at the wedding in California. It was good stuff. Good stuff. We watched some football, had a good time, and back on the grind and back at work now.
You are, we're all the same age, 34. You're unmarried. You're at a wedding. What was the level of harassment like?
Nah, it wasn't bad at all, actually.
No?
No. No one, I don't remember anybody asking me at all.
I remember at my wedding, people were already asking about kids. I was like, we hadn't even done the toasts or anything yet. Like the first dance hadn't even occurred. It's just like, when are you going to have kids? I was like, maybe after the wedding.
Yeah. Right now.
Fine. I'm like,
well,
yeah,
if you insist right here,
if you'll excuse me, DJ, please put on some LFO. I've got some business to take care of.
Somebody put down an air mattress.
Dan, what's your, day-to-day, month-to-month level of wedding harassment from other people?
I've only honestly got it a few times recently, but last time I was at a wedding was your wedding, and no one really said anything to me, so that was good. But for the most part, people usually leave me alone at these things. I'm a kind of a odd person, and they don't want to come up to me. It's just, it doesn't happen.
My wedding was a year and a half ago. You haven't been to a wedding since then?
No, man.
Man.
Well, one, yes, but yeah, kind of. Don't worry about it. Moving on.
That's not a lot. I had 8 last year, and then I think 3 this year.
Oh, wow. No,
I thought I was done. I thought I was out of this, and then all of a sudden, there's just like the second wave of weddings has come around.
That's horrible news, and I feel bad for you. No, man, I only had one this whole year, and it was nice, laid back, and I was with my current girlfriend, so everyone kind of knew what was up, so it was all right.
Well, good. Hopefully you can stave off the harassment for much longer, possibly the rest of your life.
We'll see. Working on it.
All right, gentlemen, there's a lot going on in the world this week, and one of the things that's going on, obviously this pales in comparison to other news events, but if you've come to this podcast for hot political takes and current events, you obviously are in the wrong place.
Wrong.
We are going to discuss the daily fantasy protests and the rulings and what went on with that. I say this with the disclaimer that obviously when you see the people protesting, they look ridiculous with all the other things going on in the world. But just because something's not the biggest issue doesn't mean that, we shouldn't try to figure it out. So, Dan, I'm going to hand it over to you. Why don't you explain to the people who aren't familiar what is going on with the daily fantasy rulings and what it means for gamblers like us?
Okay. I have a lot of thoughts on this, so please allow me to rant here for a minute.
Well, let's start with the explanation of what's actually happening for people who don't know.
That's what I was going to start with. So what you can do, fantasy football for, you know, years and years and years has been a all season long commitment where you would have a team that you take early in the season, or sorry, you know, before the season would start, and then those would be your players for the year. These websites allow you to choose a new team every week, and you can compete in competitions against other players. You can play against one person, you know, or a small group, like eight, or you can play against, you know, a couple hundred thousand and, you know, hit, you know, for a big jackpot. There's a loophole. There was something signed in 2006. It's called the Unlawful Gambling Act, I believe. It kind of made the ways for poker to be made illegal back in 2011. But anyway, people can put money on these websites, and they can choose fantasy players every week, and they can win cash prizes. Now, there's been some information coming out that over 91% of all the money won has been won by only 1% of the players, 1.3% of the players, to be accurate. People think this is ridiculous, but it's very simple to online poker. If you play a huge tournament with, you know, 2,000 people, well, then, of course, only a small percentage are really going to make money. You know, so people finish towards the top. And it's the same aspect in these fantasy sites. So moral of the story is, there's a argument going on right now on whether these sites are illegal or legal, and is it gambling or not. These sites argue that they are not a gambling website, but they're a game of skill. And in fact, they are gambling and also a game of skill at the same time. And these websites and online poker and sports betting all need to be legalized and regulated so that there's no shady activity. The reason why they are not allowed in New York State anymore, and they're not allowed here in Arizona ever, and also in Las Vegas and Nevada, is because people from one site were playing on the other site, people who actually work for the companies, and they thought there was some sort of kind of like insider information swap going on. So people thought that was shady. New York's attorney general, you know, said, okay, no more. And it's the same shit that happened with online poker in 2011. And the argument against poker back then was poker is not a game of skill. It's a game of luck. Any two cards can win. That is true. Just like the same thing with this, where you can choose a whole bunch of assholes and they can go off and win. But I am a huge sports fan. I am a huge gambling fan. I do this podcast. I play poker. I've always loved to gamble. And I'm probably the happiest person in the country right now that these fan sites are not allowed in New York State, because now it's pissing enough people off to realize that we need to just legalize all of it, tax the shit out of it, and move on. I mean, the argument against gambling was always that it'll ruin families, you'll lose all your money. But that can be this, you know, said about so many other things. I mean, alcohol. I mean, if you watch NFL Sundays, how many Coors Light commercials do you see? Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I can go down to the corner liquor store and trick myself into a stupor every day and ruin my life the same way as loading a few bucks on a fantasy website. So change needs to come. People in New York are screwed. Eventually, it'll eventually be spread across the whole country. My guess is you will not see any daily fantasy sites by the kickoff of next football season. They will all cancel them, and then there'll be pressure on the new president, who won't be elected till this time next year, to do something in early 2017 so that by football season 2017 it's back. So that's kind of my rant on that, and I hope you all listened and bear with me. Sorry if it was too long.
No, thank you. Ryan, do you play these games? Do you have anything to add?
Well, no, I can't play these games because, as Dan said, Arizona was the first state to actually ban it. We've never been allowed. It was banned from the very beginning here in Arizona, and also in Nevada. So the state that I live in and the state that I border and visit a lot have banned it from the beginning. So I've never really played them much. But my only question about this is, what about NCAA March Madness? Because you can do those for money too. But that's just the same thing. It's just it could be random. It could be skill. Every year people win it. They have no idea anything about basketball. So it's not really a game of skill. And if that's not a game of skill, then that should be banned too.
Are there March Madness polls online where you put in money and you win money?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, because I've seen the ones that are free and, you know, you distribute or you collect money amongst your friends.
Right.
And then I've seen the ones where they're free to enter, but you can win a prize. And I think those don't fall under the same category. I'm not familiar. Of course, you know, I could just be missing it, but I've never seen one where you actually have to pay, say, $20 to enter online and then you win the payout.
Oh, no, there are ones.
They have everything. I mean, all sports, hockey, or probably not lacrosse, but
I'm pretty sure they don't have lacrosse gambling. If
hockey,
they do, those people need to check into a facility.
Basketball, baseball. I mean, they have year-round fantasy games. I'm just saying, you know, I'm thinking 2017, you'll see it back. But it will be all the way canceled across the country soon. Mark it down. You have my word.
And I actually have one more thing to add. The number one person who I feel is going to spearhead this whole thing about legalizing gambling and taxing it, I think the number one person is going to be NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. He's been the first person out in front saying that we need to legalize gambling. I'm all for it. Let's regulate it, tax it so there's no shadiness. I think he's going to be the guy that is going to spearhead this whole thing and push it towards what Dan was talking about.
I really thought you were going to go with President Trump.
Wow.
President Trump would definitely make gambling legal very quickly.
2020, Kanye West will definitely legalize all the gambling. You don't have to worry about it.
All right, so I've never played Daily Fantasy. Obviously, I get, you know, I play the regular fantasy football, which, as you mentioned before, it's gotten kind of boring these days. The full season is too much of a commitment. I totally understand why people want to play Daily Fantasy. I just personally, I mean, I barely have the time to keep up with my team for the yearly one. So I just wouldn't have time to keep up with something like this. So I have a few questions for you, Dan. You said that you believe it's a game of skill and a game of luck.
Yeah, of course.
And so in that way, it's similar to poker.
Same thing.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that because from my limited knowledge and what I've read in the news, it seems like these people are trying to argue about some semantical loophole when they really should just be making the overall argument for legalizing all gambling.
Correct.
Okay, so I guess I don't have anything to add. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was on sportsbook.ag earlier because you can't go to sportsbook.com, of course.
No.
So any money to be had off that site or any taxes that would be collected would go to the Antiguan government instead of the U.S. government. It's just pretty stupid. It's a lot of money on the table that we could be collecting on. And for all the other stupid things that we're allowed to do, you know, get wasted, smoke weed in many states, even like sugar, for example, these things can all be addictive. They can all ruin people's lives. At some point you have to let people make decisions for themselves.
You are correct.
All right. Now that that's out of the way, can we make fun of the protesters?
Absolutely.
The minute I saw those protests, I was like, these people were definitely paid off to be here. Of course, it comes out that they were mostly FanDuel employees.
Yes, they were.
The reason I knew, first off, they had the wrong look. Like, these people clearly had jobs. You know, other protests, you'll see some people who look like they're working people, but you'll see a lot of people who clearly didn't have a job that they were missing. The signs were too clever. Like at a normal protest, you just get angry signs like "I hate President Trump." These signs were like really well crafted. The ones that said, "What's his name? Schneiderman should be sit on the bench." Like that was way too clever for a protest. So you knew there was some sort of corporate entity behind it. They had their own hashtag. Like it was way too well organized. So if you're a company and you're trying to stage a fake protest, dumb it down a little bit.
Well said.
All right, guys. Hey, let's talk about college football, what this podcast is supposed to be about.
Yeah, let's do that.
New playoff rankings. 1, Clemson. 2, Bama. 3, Ohio State. 4, Notre Dame. Same as last week. Then we've got 5, Iowa. 6 and 7, Oklahoma State and Oklahoma. Florida at 8. Do you agree with that top eight? And what other teams should we be watching that still have a chance?
There's no one else who has a chance. And I think that ranking's pretty much right. It'll play itself out. Florida controls its own way in. If they beat Florida State and Alabama, they go to the title game. Alabama, obviously, Ohio State, Clemson, they all control their own destiny. Iowa even. I think the Big 12 winner might go in. If Oklahoma runs the table, I think they're going to get in at four. But, yeah, it looks pretty good.
You're going to have a hell of a debate if it's Notre Dame versus Oklahoma with one loss.
Correct.
For that final spot. That's going to be a real debate. People are going to debate about their performances against Texas, which I don't really think is fair. I don't think that's a fair way to judge it. What do you think, Ryan, about like head-to-head or, you know, judging teams versus a common opponent?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a bit overplayed. I think that, like you were saying exactly, the Texas one is a great example. That's a rivalry game. That's been a rivalry game for 100-plus years, Oklahoma-Texas. And of course, they were going to give their best effort of the year in that game. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to compare the head-to-head when it's something like that. You know, I think if they play within a month of each other and the circumstances are pretty similar, you can look at it, but I don't think you should weigh it that heavily.
Dan, you want to weigh in or you think we're good?
I think we're good.
Do you think Michigan State is out of it? I think they may be the one team that still has a chance.
I think they would need a miracle amount of help with multiple losses from a bunch of spots. I think they're out.
Well, here's my logic. If they were to win out, then that takes care of Ohio State and Iowa, knocking them out.
Yep.
Then they are left with the two teams, you know, Clemson, the SEC winner. Then you've got Notre Dame, Big 12, and Michigan State basically fighting for three spots. Michigan State would have then wins over Iowa and Ohio State in the last month. And their one loss would be the loss to Nebraska, which was somewhat of a debatable call. So I think they would make a pretty strong case. I don't know that they would get in, but you would have to put them right there in the thick of the conversation, I think.
That's interesting. Possible, I guess.
We'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, but I have a feeling that we have not seen the last of the upsets. So
no.
We shall go. Let it play out. You guys ready for the lines?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
All right. Michigan at Penn State. Michigan's a 4-point favorite going into Happy Valley. The over-under, classic Big Ten over-under, 41.5.
NFL over-under.
Yeah, not even. I mean, that's old NFL.
You're right.
So I'll start it off as the Big Ten resident expert and the Penn State fan. I mean, we're all Penn State fans, technically. I don't know what to think about this. Michigan looked good for a while, but they had a tough game against Indiana. Penn State's been up and down. They've had a week off. Their last game was a loss to Northwestern. I have to think Michigan is better than Northwestern. So to me, it's a stay away at gunpoint. If I have to pick this game, I think you have to lay it with Michigan. I wouldn't feel good about Penn State, even though, in my mind, hopefully they would keep it within three. I do think Penn State has a chance to win outright for sure, but I think I would lean like 60% Michigan.
You're probably right, C. Yeah. Penn State's has been too inconsistent this year. Harbaugh's a superior coach. Probably go with Michigan in this game.
Spill it, you're a Penn State fan, or are you still?
It's a little bit tough to catch to watch Penn State these days for me. But, no, I mean, I think my only take on this game is it's definitely a stay away, like you said, because Michigan clearly has a superior talent, but they're coming off a double overtime game. Penn State has the extra week of rest, and I think those things kind of cancel each other out. And for me, I think 3.5 is just – really shady, and I wouldn't touch it.
All right, so I think our official recommendation is to stay away from that one. All right, gentlemen, North Carolina at VaTech, 6.5-point line, 61.5 over-under. North Carolina, only one loss coming in at 17 behind Navy on the new rankings. Some people, i.e. North Carolina fans, are a little upset, think they're ranked a little bit too low. Any chance they can compete for, I know it's an extreme long shot, possibly impossible for, did I just say possibly impossible?
Yep.
They're out of the playoff. Can we say that for sure?
Yes.
Yes.
Even if they beat Clemson?
Yes.
But I do think they have a shot, or if they beat Clemson, they're in the New Year's Six then, right?
Maybe. I still don't think so.
I think it's an automatic bid if they were to win out.
But that's not the only way it would get in.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so who wants to do the analysis of this game?
That's not me.
I'm going to take that one, actually. I like this one. This one is shady. This is a really shady line to me. Because a 9-1 team playing a 5-5 team, and it's less than a touchdown. And that is the Frank Beamer respect factor. This line, if you just took the look blindly at a 17th ranked 9-1 versus a 5-5 unranked team, it shouldn't be 6.5. It shouldn't. This is a Frank Beamer thing. He's got one more trick up his sleeve. I think he's got one more trick left in him. I think he's got one more upset left in him. I think too many people are blowing too much smoke up North Carolina's ass. I think they're buying into their own hype that they're better than they really are. And for me, I actually like Virginia Tech in this game.
Okay. Dan, you want to make a pick? Because I think Spilt won me over.
I thought pretty much the same thing as Ryan, that especially because I believe they have to win this game, Tech, to go to a bowl game because they're 5-5. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting. I'm with Ryan on that. Take Tech in the points.
All right. You heard it here first, people. Basketball season's begun. North Carolina's ranked 1. That means, much like it does in Syracuse, basketball season has begun. Football season is over. It's Beamer's, last hurrah at home. Win one for the Beamer. I think Vautech wins outright. Take the points. All right.
There you go.
I wouldn't do money line, but I would take the points for sure. Georgia Southern at Georgia, 14-point line. Danny, this is all you.
All right. This is an interesting one because oh. Yeah, trap of the week. Yeah, you didn't see that coming, did you? A courtesy of the 3-6 Mafia.
I did not see that coming. I knew you asked me to add that one at the last minute. That wasn't on my original list of games, so I knew that something was going to be up. But I'm very shocked that you would pick a team that I believe wasn't even Division I in like 3 years ago to cover a 2-touchdown line at away. Yep. At the Bulldogs.
That's right. The trap of the week is hot at 3-0, and Georgia Southern has gotten really good all of a sudden real quick. They have the same amount of wins as Georgia. They actually have one less loss than Georgia. They've been favored in a whole bunch of games this year by a lot of points. I was shocked. And they've done pretty well against the spread, too. This is like the ultimate chance for them to play a team that's wounded, with a coach on the rocks finally, with a whole bunch of weird stuff going on. Love Georgia Southern in the 14 this Saturday.
This could be it. If they actually were to win outright, or
yep,
possibly even keep it really close, this could be the Kano moment for Mark Richt, where they reach into his heart and reach into his chest and pull out his still beating heart.
We can only hope.
It's going to take something like that to finish him, so to speak.
Absolutely, I agree.
Absolutely. And I want to add one thing that Dan has brought up in past podcasts with the ULL-ULM connection. These Georgia Southern kids, a lot of these kids are local. They were not recruited by Georgia. They probably played high school and maybe even backed up a lot of these guys that play for Georgia. I love this trap. I love this call by Dan. This is one of those weird games, and I love it.
Yes, what you're referring to is what we call the South Florida rule, mm-hmm, where the kids went to high school together, They all slept with each other's girlfriends. They all know each other. One group got recruited to Miami, Florida State, Florida. The other group was overlooked and went to South Florida, but once a year they turn it on and try to show that they should have gotten the big name recruits. So that's this game, apparently.
That's okay. Right.
Sorry, I'm trying to scroll down. Computer froze up for a second there. Memphis at Temple. Memphis favored by 1.5. 59.5 is the line. What do you guys think?
Really hard one. Both teams have overachieved this year. Memphis has now lost 2 games in a row, actually. Heartbreaker, too. So this one's weird. I'm going to take the Temple Owl at home.
Okay. I kind of like Memphis in this. I really like Memphis. Their 2 losses in a row are to Navy and Houston, which are, you know, no slouches. Those are honorable defeats. Paxton Lynch, whose name I finally learned, has one of the best yacht club quarterback names of all time. I should have learned that earlier. And he's going to be a top pick. So I'm going to take them to come into Broad Street and knock Temple around. It's going to be like Rocky 1, a close loss for Temple.
Oof, I got to break the tie on this one. I actually, I'm gonna take the home team. I think the Memphis, the 2 heartbreakers in a row, I think the Southern team going up into Philly could be a bit difficult for them. And I kind of like Temple a little bit.
All right. Money line or, well, I guess at this point you might as well just take the money line if it's 1.5.
Correct.
Correct.
You know, make that extra $2.
Adds up.
Gentlemen, I got a question for you, sort of related to Temple and the city of brotherly love. I've been thinking about the Rocky franchise, you know, with the Creed movie. First off, you name your movie Creed in this decade, and all I can picture is Scott Stapp doing a Christ pose on the side of a mountain. So I hope that Scott Stapp makes an appearance in that movie. But more importantly, Rocky clearly had post-concussive syndrome, and he was showing signs of CTE. I don't think people talk about this enough. I was watching Rocky IV, and after the fight, he's like slurring his words. I mean, even worse than normal. He forgets his own kid's name. He just calls him Kid. I think Rocky clearly had brain damage.
Probably right, Z.
You know, he's hailed as this hero, but maybe if, you know, maybe if he retired a little earlier, he would have been better off in the long run.
He might be right.
Then again, he did end the Cold War, so I guess it was probably worth it.
Also true.
Is it, at some point, the brain damage is okay, right? Like, if you're ending a Cold War,
I think
all right.
Yeah, it's worth it.
And Apollo died, right? So I guess it's all relative.
Correct.
You guys have any thoughts on Sylvester Stallone movies you want to share? Hot takes on Over the Top?
It's pretty good. It's an 80s classic. I'm partial to the first Rambo movie, like, because that's like not even like a real action movie. I think that's like the best movie I ever did. Just the first Rambo. It's just super good.
Has there ever been a movie series that went from very good and somewhat believable to completely ridiculous? I mean, maybe Die Hard?
No, I'm pretty sure that is the number one. It can never be topped.
Die Hard 4, I might be remembering incorrectly, but I think he like jumped out of a plane and landed on a ladder or something like that.
It's possible. All those movies just kind of morph into one for me. I'm not a big Bruce Willis guy.
Spill it. What do you think? What was more ridiculous? Like the latest Die Hards, the last 2 Die Hards, or the last 2 Rockies? Rambo. Sorry.
I honestly think that even though I don't really watch them, but I've seen so many trailers. What about the Fast and Furious movies? Those seem to be getting to the. Wasn't the first one just a bunch of guys racing around off on the streets, and now they're like jumping from hotel room to hotel room in Vegas? in cars. That
Yeah,
seems
they've
like that got a
become.
bit preposterous pretty over the course of those movies.
Yeah, I believe they drive off a bridge and then somehow they're just totally fine.
They do some ridiculous things in those movies. I feel like those, with special effects the way they are now, those movies are just completely over the top.
Yeah,
But I do want to add, I will go see this new Rocky movie because the kid, the main character, Creed, Adonis Creed, by the way, Apollo's son Adonis, he was actually on The Wire. He was Wallace on The Wire in season one when he was like really young, 13 years old or something like that. And I've always liked him since The Wire. And now he's jacked up and playing Apollo's son. I'll probably give him my afternoon matinee money, not my evening money.
The Wire cast has gone on to great things.
That show's amazing. I love that show so much.
It really is. It's the probably the best show ever and still underappreciated. It's like everyone who's seen it thinks it's the greatest show of all time, but still not enough people in general are familiar.
I agree 100%.
Maybe when they're finished watching Supergirl on CBS, they'll have time to catch up.
One can only hope.
All right, guys, I'm gonna get your take. I'm gonna stay out of this one. We've got Arizona at Arizona State, which is off the board for some reason. I'm not sure why, but maybe you can chime in.
There's a bunch of injuries all over the place. They don't know what's going on, but I think Arizona is 6-5. Arizona State's 5-5. So I think Arizona State needs this one. It's at home, leading them, but don't love it.
All
Spill it.
right. Yeah. So I don't have a huge take on the game because of all the injuries, but I will add that living here, there are obviously, this is a big rivalry game, and in past years there's been some, crazy stunts by both fans going in and spray painting the Arizona colors on the Arizona State Mountain and things of that nature. However, this year I do really want to share what they did. So this year, Arizona State students went down to the U of A campus posing as U of A students, walking around. And what they carried with them was a petition to have the University of Arizona returned to Mexico. Swear to God, they had a
Not
petition that they were trying to get people to sign to say that the University of Arizona's land was stolen from Mexico and it should be returned to Mexico. And not only did they get a bunch of people to believe it and sign it, it made it into the Arizona school newspaper and taken as a serious thing. To me, this is genius. This is better than spray painting colors on the RG3 statue like those idiots from TCU did. Karma's a bitch. They got what they deserve. They're all hurt now. Their season's over. But this, I think, is absolutely hilarious. And because of that, I'm going to lean towards Arizona State. I think that's a genius rivalry thing to do. And I hope more schools try to do that instead of ruining, landmarks and things of that nature. The graffiti stuff's vandalism's childish. That is really, really funny.
I'm a big fan of that. I had no idea. It definitely beats was it Auburn or Alabama who killed a 100-year-old tree? Like that kind of thing is not as cool.
No.
Yeah, that was kind of fucked up, but
Yeah.
that is much funnier. Good work.
Yeah, nice work, Arizona State. Well done. How does you say they disguise themselves as Arizona students, but it's like they're pretty much the same. I mean, they just went as really attractive people.
Well, I would say less attractive people,
Ooh.
but that's just my take on it.
What is the hotness rankings of Arizona schools?
ASU has 73,000 undergraduates, so no comparison. More, just way more to choose from.
Well, you've got to go attractive per capita. You know, it's not fair to just judge it on overall numbers.
Phoenix is way better than Tucson. I told a coworker recently that I had to go down to Tucson for a concert And the response I got back was, well, the only reason anyone has to ever goes to Tucson is because they have to. So, yeah. Dan, have you visited Tucson in the three and a half years you've lived here?
Once to see a concert. That's it.
That counts as have to.
Exactly. Have you visited Tucson on your own accord because it sounded fun?
Never once.
There it is.
All right. Let's leave it there. Wake Forest goes to Clemson. Clemson's a 29-point favorite. Keep in mind, Clemson has the rivalry against South Carolina next week. Dan, you want to take it?
Z, go ahead. You can start this one.
I don't have any thoughts. I think I would stay away because Clemson probably looking ahead. But obviously, Clemson's a much better team.
You're exactly right. It's a standard look-ahead spot, so probably stay away.
All right. In that case, let's just move ahead. Oh, actually, how do you feel about a 48-point over-under?
That's kind of low for college.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson, if they decided they wanted to play, then they could get that by themselves easily.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. They got a powerful enough offense. Yeah, so maybe leaning over, but stay away from the line in that one.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I take a small bet on the over, and if Clemson does decide that they actually want to play hard in this game, then you're good. They should be able to get that easily. Spill it. Anything on that game, or should we just move along?
Lay it, move along.
Okay. LSU at Ole Miss. I'm going to leave the analysis up to you two, but I just want to say Leonard Fournette, according to the media, who's pretty much always wrong about everything, he is now like completely out of the Heisman race after being the, you know, front runner or the lock to win it 2 weeks ago. Here's what knocked him out. I mean, the game at Alabama was terrible. We all know that. We've discussed that last week on the show. The game against Arkansas, even though the team performed poorly, I mean, he, quote, only had like 120-something all-purpose yards, and that's his terrible game. I still think it's kind of crazy to leave him, you know, out of the Heisman running. I think he should be right up there with him, Henry, and Deshaun Watson, I think, believed he should be considered. Baker Mayfield played an awesome game, but he played one great game against Baylor, and then he hasn't played anyone great in the last month. So I think it's a little premature to put Baker Mayfield in the top three.
I agree with that, and it's unfortunate how everyone's off the Fournette wagon. I guess it looks like Henry from Alabama is a big -240 favorite right now. It's his to lose.
Isn't that a bit ridiculous that we're overreacting to just basically what happens each week? You would think at this point of the season we'd have a little more perspective.
No, that's exactly what everyone does, especially in 2015. It's more than ever. I mean, it's just crazy. So I don't know. There's a lot of football left to be played. Who the fuck knows? It's crazy, man.
What do you think Fournette has to do to reestablish himself as, you know, a front runner, or at least in the front running conversation?
Have a record-breaking game, like 385 yards.
Well, this is not a good team to do that against.
No.
So what do you think about the game, Dan? 4-point line.
I'm going to completely stay away from LSU until they can show they can turn around, so I'm going to fade LSU.
All right, spill it.
Agreed.
All right, moving along. Yeah, I've got nothing to add. LSU is not worthy of your bets right now.
No, not at all.
Not that I love Ole Miss at all, but if you got to pick a side, that's the one. All right, gentlemen, let's take it out west. UCLA at Utah. Utah -2, 56.5-point over-under. Utah now out of the conversation with two losses.
Utah's really taking a fall. I mean, not like a massive one, but everyone thought that they had a chance to win it all, which I always thought was a little bit absurd. But I think they're going to close the season strong. I'm going to take Utah on this one for some strange reason. I just feel like they got it.
Spill it.
California kid, freshman, going into Utah. Really, really underrated, hard place to play. It's going to be about 40 degrees at best. and the kid who hangs out at UCLA campus and surfs, I don't like him going into that hostile environment in 40 at best, probably in the 30s at game time. No, I like Utah too.
I like it. You know, if Josh Rosen brings his dorm room hot tub along, maybe he can have a party in the snow afterwards.
You're absolutely right.
I love it.
Utah is, you're right, it is an underrated tough place to play. Utah's in the middle of nowhere. People think of the state of Utah and they think, oh, it's Salt Lake City or somewhere nearby, but no. That is in the middle of nowhere. USC at the resurgent Oregon Ducks, now ranked once again. It's a sad season for Oregon when we're cheering about them being 23rd at this point of the season. They're finally back in the rankings.
Yeah, it's been a really strange year for Oregon. They had some injuries early. Vernon Adams has really come around. I actually like Oregon in this game after being off them for so much. It was a really impressive win against Stanford last week, so take the Ducks.
You think the rivalry factor played into that? I mean, they were playing out of their minds.
It is possible, a little bit.
All right, Spillett, did you watch any of Oregon-Stanford?
I caught a little bit, but not actually too much, to be honest with you. This game is a weird one. I think we expected it to be number 3 versus number 4, not 23 versus 24. But I do like the way Oregon's played lately. And, you know, if I have to lean one way or the other, I'm going to lean with a home team, the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, this game must have been on some, like, ESPN chalkboard at some point in September or August as, like, well, boys, we'll definitely be going to this one. If not, you know, it'll at least be one of the top 2 or 3 that College Game Day is considering. Not so much.
No.
Houston at UConn. Off the board, Dan, and I don't know why, I'm sad to say.
Me neither. No clue. Unfortunately, we can't pick this one.
There might not be injuries or anything. Vegas might have just said, oh, UConn? We're sick of them. Off.
It's a very, very possible. Very possible.
Talk about Houston, one of you filibuster while I give a nice weather report.
Houston is just playing excellent football year under their first-year head coach. They've been looking great. UConn's a total train wreck. I expect the spread to be pretty high, and, you know, I never bet UConn, so it really doesn't matter.
All right, I've pulled up the weather. Pretty nice day in Connecticut on Saturday. We're looking at partly cloudy, partly sunny, and a high of 52, low of 36, which to you Phoenix people sounds probably unbearable, but here in Connecticut in late November, that's as nice as you're going to get, which is why net migration to Connecticut is way, way in the negative. But the point is, Houston should do fine. UConn's advantage would be if it was like a rainy, snowy game and that defense can come up with another powerhouse win like their 7-3 victory over Tulane last week. I think Houston's going to just come in and just have too much offensive firepower. So if a line does happen to emerge, if Vegas finally gets around to this game, lay it with Houston.
All right,
Mississippi then. State at Arkansas. Arkansas now a 3.5-point favorite after their slow start to the season. They're finally coming around.
Yeah, Arkansas has played some really good football the last couple of weeks. Upset at Ole Miss, some other, you know, nice, huge win at LSU handily. I was shocked.
Domination.
I think you got to ride Arkansas right now.
Spill it.
I really don't like Bielema at all. So I don't like betting Arkansas. I think for me this is a bit of a stay away. I think this is going to be a weird game. But if I'm going to bet anything, I might put a little bit on the under. I think 57.5 might be a little bit high. You know, I think this game could potentially be a game that gets only up into the 20s as far as, you know, maybe 23-13 or something like that, or 27-10. This seems a little bit high to me.
I could see what you're saying. Mississippi State, for all their problems they had against Alabama, their defense did play pretty well most of the game. I mean, Alabama only scored, what, I think 31 points on them. Is that right? Or was it 38 by the end? But I guess they held them, at least from a scoring standpoint, in check for most of the game. If their offense could have done anything, that could have been a tight game. So I think it's reasonable to say that they will hold Arkansas under 30, and that they themselves will probably score, you know, 24-27. So I think that would come in just under. I would add one thing about Brett Bielema. He says some dumb things, as you mentioned, but one thing he said just today, I think, was really smart. He thinks that college football should do like what college basketball does, where it's the SEC versus Big 12 or Big 10 versus Pac-12 weekend. So non-conference schedule, one of the first Saturdays of the year, all of the Big 10, for example, would be paired up against all of the Pac-12. They do it in early college basketball season, and it's pretty cool. Do you guys have any thoughts about that?
Go ahead, Ryan.
I like the idea. I think it's really smart. It's something that I think all of us have talked about in the past. The only thing about that is people don't talk enough about the fact that these teams, their schedules are made 4, 5, 6 years in advance. I mean, right now you can go into Google and look up Notre Dame's 2020 season, and it's already listed. And so it's going to be difficult to do that. And what they'd have to do is boot some of the cupcakes off. And as we've talked about at length on this podcast, is those cupcakes rely on that money to fund their entire athletic department. And just logistically, I like the idea. I think it's going to take it probably 2 to 3 years to be able to implement it.
I'm a little unsure. On the one hand, you've got the college playoff committee, which is making a pretty strong statement that they're not going to reward teams that play bad out of conference schedules. You look at Baylor, TCU last year, I guess all of the Big 12 this year, North Carolina down at 17. They're being pretty clear, play tough out of conference. But on the other hand, teams sort of know they have to go undefeated or one loss to get in the playoff now. And so I'm not sure that the whole conference is going to want to risk having a bunch of their contenders go in and lose in that second week. So we'll see how it plays out. In the meantime, the 16th-ranked Navy midshipmen go to Tulsa, and it's a 12-point line, 68-point over-under. Anybody want to talk about Navy or give it up for what they've done this season?
Navy's played awesome. Their quarterback's amazing. They score all the time. They control time of possession. They're smart. They've been great. I was shocked when they played so well against Memphis. Hats off to Navy. This is a tough spot at Tulsa. I believe Tulsa's 5-5 as well. Another team needs to win to get bowl eligible. This could be a tricky one. Be careful.
I thought this was going to be your trap game, trap queen trap game of the week.
Not quite. Georgia Southern was just too good to pass up.
All right, Dan, your favorite school, Boston College, goes to Notre Dame. It's a 16.5-point line.
That is a neutral site game at Fenway Park.
Oh, okay, right. I have that. Yep, my bad. All right, neutral site game, Dan. Your favorite team goes to your favorite stadium, and it's a 16.5-point line, 42-point over-under. Dan, do you want to just like spend 10 minutes talking about how much you love Boston College, or do you want to give analysis?
Notre Dame should kill them. Boston College is not good this year. They can't score. Notre Dame should roll.
Dan loves Boston College, in case I never mentioned that yet.
Favorite college ever. They're so great.
Spill it.
Notre Dame's going to smoke them probably by 30 plus. Lay it. Yep. It's going to be bad.
Does anybody think that Notre Dame's going to be looking ahead? They've got the Stanford game. I mean, Stanford did lose, but they're still a powerful opponent.
No, because it's at Fenway Park.
Okay. Cal at Stanford, the aforementioned Stanford, 11-point favorite over Cal.
Rivalry game. I mean, this is the game, right? This is another one. I personally think that the 11 points is not enough. I think it should be 2 touchdowns at least. I would have set it at probably 16.5, and I like Stanford.
Yeah, this is a rivalry game that I don't know what it's been like. I feel like they haven't done much for us lately. They're really riding off that one band game.
Absolutely. And it's gonna be weird, interesting to see how Stanford responds to their loss last week. So this one's tough. I'm gonna stay away.
All right, gentlemen, the next game is a little tough. We've got TCU at Oklahoma. This is off the board. Josh Doctson's out for the season with a wrist injury. Trevon Boykin is questionable for this game, and it kind of sounds like he won't play, but we're taping on Wednesday night, and we don't really know for sure at this point. So, does TCU have any shot at this game without those two guys?
No, zero, none, zilch.
None.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if this one comes on the board at all. If TCU does announce a starter, maybe you could get Oklahoma at a huge spread, but this is not a game you want to pick. Oklahoma played great, by the way. Dan, we didn't really talk about Oklahoma Baylor. In fact, we didn't really talk about any of last week's games, but
Yeah.
what did you see from that matchup?
Oklahoma's got a really good quarterback. He can go up and down the field. They actually have a really good front four on defense. That game could have went either way. Baylor just is not as confident without their former quarterback Seth Russell. I kind of knew this was coming, but nice job by Oklahoma. They still probably control their own destiny, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, the whole time I was watching that game, my only thought was it's a shame that Seth Russell got injured because it would have been a totally different ball game. I'm not saying they definitely would have won, but it would have been very close, I think. But hats off to Baker Mayfield. He played great. He's now in the Heisman race. Spill it, you happened to catch the game?
I did. I actually did watch this game. I think, yeah, Dan nailed it. I think you nailed it. The Russell injury was really, really tough. You could tell the receivers were a bit frustrated. Coleman's been really frustrated the last couple games, and that's been really tough for them. Honestly, it's fine that Mayfield absolutely won that game himself. And this is all just setting up for the annual Bob Stoops piss my pants, shit the bed game. I can't wait to see Bob Stoops screw this up. They'll win this week, but next week, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for his annual choke job.
There is nothing, I mean, I'm not a fan of either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State. There's nothing I'd like to see more, though, than that final playoff spot come down to the Bedlam winner. I think that would be unbelievably exciting, especially if there was a way to know sort of ahead of time before that game that this was probably going to determine a spot. Like, for example, if, Notre Dame or Ohio State or somebody lost ahead of time. I think that would just be unbelievable, and those ratings would probably be through the roof. So, guys, the next game is Baylor at Oklahoma State. It's a pick 'em. You can break this game down, but also just give me an overview of the Big 12 conference and how you see this playing out the rest, well, the next 2 weeks.
Well, injuries have taken two of the four teams away, and Oklahoma State has played a really easy schedule, but it's about to get hard. Oklahoma had their one hiccup against Texas, but they might still control their own destiny. It's a shame the injuries really happened to TCU and Baylor because they were the two superior teams. And now we're talking about the third and fourth best teams in the conference, which is a shame. Hey, Oklahoma State, I'm rooting for them. I think they have a shot, so we'll see if they can do it.
Well, you've got your 66-1 ticket for them to be the champion, but do you actually think they're the best team?
No, I think Oklahoma right now is the best team, but Oklahoma State can outcoach them.
All right, spill it. Give me your hot take.
Hot take. I like Oklahoma State in this spot. Either at home, I think that's a big deal. It's a pick 'em, and I think that's a bit of disrespect, a little bit of disrespect maybe. I think the home, basically that's saying the Baylor's better. So I think Oklahoma State, I like them in this spot, and I like them to get the final playoff spot.
Ooh, that is a hot take.
I like it.
Heard it here first. Well, no, Dan said it. in August. So,
Dan's got a ticket that
you hear to hear last.
You know heard it here second, I would say. Nobody else is on them for a playoff yet.
You're right.
I like it.
But Dan was first by about 4 months.
Correct.
Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, let's give it up for Mike Gundy. A couple years sort of down by his standards. I remember last year, I think, on the podcast, we were talking about how we thought Gundy was going to be out. We knew he had some problems with T. Boone Pickens, my favorite name of any person ever.
Yeah, I know.
And we were predicting maybe he'll go to Florida, maybe he'll get a job at someplace else. Now he's contending for a playoff with only a couple weeks to go. So how do you see his future playing out, Dan?
He can do pretty much anything he wants. It's pretty much shown now.
Do you think he will stay at Oklahoma State, or do you think, no offense to Oklahoma State, but there are much more lucrative and, you know, bigger, big-time jobs? You've got your USC, Texas, et cetera.
If the right opportunity opens up, yeah, why not? But who knows? But he's proven that he can do pretty much whatever he wants.
Yeah, and, you know, I may have thought that he had already peaked with that program, but I guess I was wrong. So congrats, Oklahoma State. Hell of a season. All right, guys, last game, the big game. Although the spread doesn't make it seem like a big game. We got Michigan State goes to the Shoe, where Ohio State is a 13.5-point favorite, which to me is a very surprisingly high line, I think, considering that Michigan State only has one loss and it was sort of a very close, hotly disputed one to Nebraska. Ohio State, they're looking like this year's Florida State. They haven't been great. So I have some notes on this one. It's the only game I made notes on. So let me go through and then you guys can add whatever you have. Number one, I think we cannot use last year's game as a gauge for this. First thing, Tom Herman gone. We've now seen that he played a pivotal role in the offense, and they're just not the same without him. Number two, the QB play, no matter who's in there for Ohio State, has been much worse this year. And then Michigan State, their defense, I think, has gotten worse. I don't think they have a very good defense this year, but their offense is much better, and Connor Cook's playing like a top 10 pick. So I think you have to sort of start from scratch and not take last year into account when picking this game. And with that said, I will hand it over to whoever wants to go first.
Ryan, you can take this one.
Honestly, I don't really have much on this game. I think the 13-point line really surprised me too. I thought it was going to be probably a little bit lower. It was going to be over a touchdown, but I thought 13 was a bit high. But with that being said, this to me is a bit of a stay away. Like you said, the Michigan State defense is not quite as good as I remembered them being, or I built them up to be. If I'm going to do anything in this game, I might look at the over 53, 50 degrees, and it's an afternoon game, 3:30 game. And I think 50 degrees is going to make that game a little bit more of an over. Maybe game's going to get in the 60s, maybe even the 70s.
Dan, what are your thoughts?
I also like Michigan State, but I just feel like everyone thinks it's going to be close and Vegas isn't going to be off. So I'm going to go ahead and say lay it with Ohio State.
Well, normally I go against the trends because most people are wrong. Otherwise, gambling wouldn't exist if Vegas lost all the time. But in this case, you've got Ohio State, who this is a huge game for them, but their game of the year is next week. For Michigan State, this is their game of the year. Michigan State is, I just looked it up, they're 40-1 for title odds, which is not, it's a long shot for sure, but their upcoming schedule, you got Ohio State versus Penn State, and then they would play Iowa if they won out. With those three wins to end the season and one loss, I think they'd be right in the mix. I think if you're going to take a real long shot, that is better than any other odds. I'm not saying to take it, but if you want a small long shot bet, that I think is the best one at this point. I like Michigan State to cover this game, and there's a couple reasons. Number one, they can score. Connor Cook is a very good quarterback. I think he'll move the ball and they'll get some points. Number two, Ohio State's really been struggling lately. Only put up 28 against Illinois. I know we said that they weren't going to really turn it on. The one thing that scares me is Ohio State's defense is still playing pretty well. They have kept most teams to low scoring. I think they're averaging only allowing like 13 or 14 points a game this season, which sounds crazy, but they've had a couple games where they've only allowed the opponent to score like 3 points. And the one thing going in Michigan State's favor, aside from Connor Cook, is turnover margin. I saw this earlier. Ohio State -1 in turnover margin this season, and Michigan State, I believe, is like +13. It's just a huge differential. Michigan State's getting lots of turnovers this year, and Ohio State's pretty much neutral. So I like Michigan State to keep this one close. I like Ohio State to pull out the win, but I think you're looking at a 3-point game. I think Michigan State gets a defensive touchdown, and I think they get at least one other critical turnover. And I think you're looking at 27-24. That's my pick.
Okay, then.
All right.
That's a lot of analysis for basically just saying take the points.
I like it.
All right, guys, we are at the end of the lines, but Dan, 4-team teaser, what do you think?
I don't know if you're paying attention, but it came in again last week.
Yeah, you're on a hot streak, so you're 3-0 with your trap of the week, although basically you just picked Minnesota twice. So
whatever. Doesn't matter. Win's a win.
So you're just riding those Gophers and their Jerry Kill retirement high.
Pretty much.
And yeah, now the 4-team tease, is it 2 or 3 in a row? Three out of four, something like that?
2 in a row and 3 out of 4.
Yeah, not bad. After like 0-5 to begin the season.
Yeah, it was a pretty much a horrible start. Okay, here we go. We're going to take Michigan +9.5 at Penn State. That's the first one. 2, we're going to take... Oh, boy, this gets tricky. Okay, here we go. We're going to take Ole Miss +8.5 home against LSU. We're going to take Oregon +9 home against USC. And we're going to take Ohio State +1 against Michigan State. And I pray to God that's the one I lose.
All right. Spill it. Normally I tell him where he's going to lose, but do you want to take over for this time? Which of those 4-team tease games will Dan lose on?
I kind of like that tease. I really like that teaser. If I have to nitpick, I think that the Oregon USC, even though I picked Oregon, I still think that game is could potentially get really hairy. So maybe that's the one. But as of this point, I like that. I like the tease.
Dan, you're looking good. You're set up for another win. And what was the trap of the week again? Remind everyone.
Trap of the week was Georgia Southern +14 at Georgia.
If they happen to win that game outright, the next podcast will be a 1-hour eulogy for Mark Richt. No lines.
I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. Anything else to add?
No. Next week I'm out. It's the craziest week of work of me for the year. So Ryan and Tom will get the podcast. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Watch out for Auburn to pull the miracle of miracles in the Iron Bowl. And we will regroup for the conference title games in 2 weeks. But you guys will hold it down next week, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think given that it's Thanksgiving week and we'll probably be on a weird schedule, we might do some sort of like a filler, an evergreen episode, as we call it. We'll see what happens. We'll have some sort of show for you next week. I don't know what it'll be. It might not be lines, as I said, but we'll have something for you.
If it's not lines, then it will just be me breaking down the NBA extensively for about 2.5 hours. So tune in, NBA breakdown.
It will not be that, I can promise you. I would rather spend an hour rehashing old West Virginia lacrosse games. All right. That's it. Oh, man. Spill it. What will you be watching for this weekend? Well, what piques your interest with these games?
Wow, there's a few games that I really am excited to watch as a fan. I think the Baylor-Oklahoma State game is going to be just a fun game to watch. I think the other game that I like, I want to watch the Arizona State, University of Arizona game. Obviously, I'll watch that being a local. I thought the other game that looks really entertaining to me is the Beamer game. You know, I'm really, really intrigued by this Beamer game, and I think that's going to be one that that's going to capture my early morning viewing here in Mountain Time. That's a 10 a.m.er for me, and I think it's going to be really, really entertaining.
All right, everyone, enjoy this weekend of games. There's not a lot of great games, but there's enough, and every time we say that, it turns out to be an amazing weekend. So hopefully there'll be some close ones. I'm sure there will be, as always. And we'll talk to you again next week. Like I said, we'll have some sort of show for you. In the meantime, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, takethepoints.net. Dan is looking for recommendations on content marketing on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I am.
Content marketing, is that still your specialty? Or are you refocusing?
We are rebranding right now. We're focusing on team synergy. That's what I'm looking for.
Are you doing a team brand, Dan? Because it's important that you tend to your personal brand as well.
Ooh, I haven't thought about it like that, Tom.
Personal branding is very important in 2015, Dan. You know, you're not just a human, you're a brand.
It's so gross. So bad.
Spill it, you on LinkedIn? You got to get on LinkedIn.
Negative.
Do coaches use LinkedIn? Or is there like a secret coach social media app? Is like coacher.
I think you just thought of the best idea.
It's like COACHR.
Coacher.
Sounds good.
I'm going to start that. Can look up recruits and you just like swipe right for a good recruit, swipe left for a bad recruit.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it.
Recruiter.
I can just see Daniel Holgerson leaning back in his office, swiping furiously with his hair everywhere. I love it.
I love that too. All right. I think that is the perfect image to leave everyone on. Thank you for listening. And thank you to DJ Tig for the theme song. And that's it. Goodbye.
Peace out.
Yeah, it sounds like a cat is scratching the microphone or something.
Is cat scratch fever?
I think one of you has cat scratch fever. I'm not sure. Well, has either of you been listening to Ted Nugent?
No, not me.
Because that's the only way. It's sexually transmitted or transmitted over classic rock radio. It's the only way. Take the point.